This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Hi there. You are listening to The Saturday Quiz, the podcast where I, your host, John Leary, ask the questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper and a different pair of guests each week try to answer them. Joining me today are two gentlemen who you would know together from the television series Brock, How's That? And Love My Way, and separately from shows like Offspring and Game of Thrones. One of them has just published his second novel, Plum, and the other, you'll soon be able to watch Cook Up a Storm on Celebrity MasterChef. Welcome to the show, Brendan Cowell and Matthew Lenevez.
Great to be here.
G'day, fellas.
I can't wait to talk about my book. How's the cooking show, Brendan?
Mate, I worked out it's just as important the preparation as it is plating up.
Yes, it is.
How was your plating up?
My plating up was disastrous to start. Well, the first dish they said that looked like I just smashed it. And I was like, well, yeah, you got time to make something I'd serve my kids. But the stress of trying to cook everything in 60 minutes and get all the ingredients and all the pots and pans, it's not like a normal cook.
Did you run to the pantry? How they run to the pantry?
I ran to the pantry and then had to run back to the pantry and back to the pantry. I ran into the pantry at least 16 times.
I cannot wait to see you on Celebrity MasterChef. I'm a huge MasterChef fan.
It's a good show and they're good people, you know?
It's a great show. They've got a nice energy
and they're really supportive. So it was a good experience.
Yeah, great. And how about you, Brendan? How's the book?
No, the book was out yesterday, John, 29th.
Yes.
So thank you for mentioning it. Really exciting. So I've been doing a lot of press and podcasts and publicity inside the digital fortress, so I've got no idea what the reality of it all is. But I'm very grateful that, you know, soon bookshops will be open. I just went to Gertrude and Alice and you'll be able to walk in there soon. So hopefully a bit of momentum will build and people will be able to go in and grab one.
I can't wait to get it, man. I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, same.
I threatened to post you one, didn't I? And you said no or something. What happened?
You asked for my address. I know that.
I did post you one.
Oh, yeah, it's in the mail.
Every day I walk down to the post box and I'm like, oh, maybe it's today. And then there's nothing there. And then I jump on Twitter and Pat Bramall's got one. I'm like, oh.
Pat Bramall's in Australia. And so I gave him an early copy and I said, you know, if you read it, I'll put a quote in the front of my book. No, he's pumped it on the Insta. He never read it.
Never gave you a recommendation so you could publish it.
I guess the 2 weeks in quarantine wasn't enough, you know.
Now, listen to me, fellas. Do you guys do quizzes of your own volition or only when you're on podcasts?
I haven't done a quiz in years.
Really?
No, I do one the odd when I'm with my nephews and my niece and stuff and mum. We'll get out the quiz and do it. And every now and again you get 16 and you think, geez, I've always thought I was quite stupid. I'm a genius. But I tend to find them really humiliating.
Well, last time you were on this podcast, Brendan, you were on it with Damon Herriman.
And it was humiliating.
Famously stupid, Damon is.
Damon Herriman. What's the name of the Danish blue and white crockery?
Wow, look at you. Have you gone back and listened?
It's haunted me, this crockery. Delft. It was called Delft.
It is. It's Delft, named after the town.
They give you some when you fly Lufthansa. You're like, oh.
Yeah, because I told you about that, and you said, yeah, you get a gin and tonic in there on the plane. But, yeah, I think we were below average on Herriman and I. I don't think
Maybe.
We brought it.
You did have some tricky ones, some pretty
Thank
tricky
you.
Ones. I reckon you might go okay with this one.
Okay is great. I reckon I look intelligent and won't get anything, and Maddie plays himself down, but he's actually really quite smart.
Let's not talk about any of it before. We'll see.
Yeah, okay. Let's see how you go with the questions. We'll be back right after this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. My guests today are Brendan Cowell and Matthew Lenevez. Let's start with question number one. Chappelle Corby was arrested in Bali on October 8 of what year? It's a multiple choice, but are you confident? Do you know? Or do you want the multiple choice?
I wish the question was about it. But which surfing vessel she hid the marl in?
Well, how much weight she had?
Yeah, exactly.
It was a boogie board.
It was a boogie board. I was hoping boogie board would be the question.
The boogie board is not the.
I remember when it was big news, and I remember waiting to do a gig that I waited years to do, and I was landscaping. I'm going to guess.
Oh, we've got options.
Yeah. Hit us with the options.
You want to hear the multiple choices? Here they are.
Yeah.
Is it A, 2000, B, 2002, or C, 2004?
I was going to say 03, but it doesn't help.
Yeah, it's
us,
two or four. It wouldn't be 2000 because that was too much of a non-Corby year.
You're right. It is two or four, so it's either B or C.
When did you feel most connected to landscaping?
I'm going to say 04.
That's correct.
Yeah,
well done.
That's what I thought. I thought that.
The landscaping years.
The landscaping years, 2004.
That's
5, 6, 7, and 8.
Do you remember how many years she was?
Seven
was sentenced. No, she served 9 years.
She served 9 years.
She was in prison for 9 years.
So 20.
But do you remember what? Yeah, 20.
Yeah. Wow.
She was sentenced to 20 years.
Oh mate, she was in SAS last year, and she was tough. Yeah. Can you imagine what she's seen? Like, my lord.
Not offspring, that's for sure.
Everyone else has, Matt. Everyone else has.
Oh, thanks for making me feel good.
Mate, when you died, women across the Southern Hemisphere wept.
I know. Women. It's, my goodness, everyone.
It's like I haven't done anything ever before, ever since.
I think you got hit by a car just around the corner from where I live.
I did. Yeah. It's literally around the corner. And I think were you living there at the time?
I think I was,
you
actually.
You just moved down. Yeah.
That's right. Question number two. What is the acronym name for the Indo-Pacific Security Pact struck last month between Australia, Britain and the United States?
It's AUKUS. AUKUS.
AUKUS. Is the... AUKUS. Yeah. AUKUS.
That's what I said.
Quite
I said
awkward
that.
To say.
It's kind of like, really? That's the best you could come up with? AUKUS?
It was very AUKUS for the French, wasn't it?
Very AUKUS. Yeah.
So we're 2 for 2.
Poor French.
2 from 2. You're doing very well. Here we go. What 6-letter word beginning with R can refer to any bird of prey?
Raptor.
Yep.
Yeah, bingo, raptor.
Did I just get one?
Yeah,
you got one.
I'm out of here. That'll do me.
Nailed it. The word raptor comes from the Latin rapiri or rapere.
That's right.
Which means to seize or plunder.
Plunder.
There you go. All right, this one might be a little trickier for you. Question number four.
Brendan Cow.
Not Brendan Cow.
Okay.
It is a question about a writer, but it's not Brendan Cow. The Cormoran Strike detective novels are written by which multi-million dollar author? And there's a bonus point for naming the pseudonym used. Yeah, that's slowed you up a little bit. You guys are flying.
Okay. Do you want to start the question again?
The Cormoran Strike detective novels. Cormoran, C-O-R-M-O-R-A-N, Strike. That's the character's name. Cormoran Strike detective novels are written by which multi-million dollar author? Who is a rich author?
Is it American bloke?
No, it's a British writer.
Oh, not J.R. J.K.
J.K. It is J.K.
Is it J.K. Rowling?
It's J.K. Rowling, but she writes it under a pseudonym.
Well, we got that one right.
And Matt, that's for you, that part, that question.
So now there's a
bonus.
These
are the new books?
Well,
they just recently?
They're in the last sort of decade, I guess.
Yeah, I remember when she started writing those because people were wondering why she was using that pseudonym.
Yeah. There's 5 books in the series and they've actually been made into like a TV series by the BBC.
It's a female name that she goes
no,
under.
No, it's a male name.
Male name. Right, that's
yeah.
So I've set that up for you, Matt, if you want to bring that home for us.
R.G. are the initials of this person's name.
Robert?
Yes, Robert.
Grierson?
Gatling. What did you say?
I said Grierson.
No.
I'm Robert Griggs? Robert Giggs or Griggs or something?
It's Galbraith.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert Galbraith is the pseudonym used by J.K. Rowling for writing the Cormoran Strike detective novel.
We got a chunk of it, Matt.
Yeah, you did very well.
Got the author. She's English, by the way. She's not Scottish, because that was the question last time.
No, I said British.
No, but remember last time with me and Harriman.
Oh, was that a question?
Is she British or Scottish? And I knew she was British, but I got so confused by the question. And also, when I was in Edinburgh, I went to a cafe and it said in the cafe, J.K. Rowling did not write any of her book here.
That's so funny that you've had this question for the next time that you've appeared on the podcast.
It must mean I'm going to make just about the same amount of money on my book as she made on Harry Potter.
Possibly.
She made enough money that she would fly to the Seychelles for a dinner and back.
Wow, really?
Yeah, carbon footprint for a dinner.
Excellent.
I walk up to Charcoal Charlie's every afternoon and back.
There's a lot of carbon output from the charcoal, though. So you're just about even. All right, question number 5. Which British royal shares their name with a type of sponge cake? Was there much baking in MasterChef?
No, the baking's actually one of the pitfalls, because the ovens are portable.
Ah, right.
You know how like the setup always changes, so the ovens move. Yeah. So if you're baking a cake or anything, it's a real fine line. So a couple of people struggled because they tried to bake and then suddenly nothing turned
out. So you didn't do any baking?
I can't remember if
it's not your forte.
No, I mean, I was baking here yesterday, but but I wasn't.
Can we break the question into what sponge cakes do we know of?
Well, I want to hear what Maddie made yesterday.
What did I make yesterday? I just baked some chicken for the kids.
Oh, but not like a cake.
No, and potatoes and vegetables. No, not a cake. I'm not a big cake kind of guy. But I'm cooking.
No, I'm not a sweet tooth. I've never baked.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sponge cakes.
I'll give you a clue. It's a British royal that's of history. So someone no longer alive.
With us.
No longer with us. And it's one of the big ones.
All right.
Is it like Catherine?
Not Catherine. I'll tell you, this sponge cake is, it's two levels of sponge cake.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind of just plain vanilla sponge cake, sandwiched with cream and jam. That's what this sponge cake is.
And the reason why it's probably popular is because it was their favourite at the time, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was one of their favourites.
Yeah, it's like all those teas that Indian people made for their English oppressors at the time,
exactly.
Like the Lady Grey and the Earl Grey and all that.
Well, then we're thinking about
the English breakfast was like the scraps off the floor, but the English liked that the most.
Oh. I love an English
scrappy
breakfast.
Tea.
Yeah.
If you think baking wouldn't have been around for that long, right? And I was watching a show. Scones are scone. So it's if we go back through the different royals, there's like who's before Victoria? There's Charles. Who was?
Mm-hmm. Who did you just say though?
Victoria.
Yeah, Victoria.
Is that
the answer?
Victoria. That seems so obvious.
It's a Victoria sponge. Yeah.
Yeah, Victoria sponge. Victoria sponge.
It's sometimes called a Victoria sandwich, which is two vanilla sponge cakes sandwiched together with cream and jam or buttercream.
I wonder if you went into the Queen Victoria building, into that tea place, and you just said, "Give me the Queen's cake." They'd bring out the right cake, or they'd be like,
they love a cake at afternoon tea. And they bring out the stand.
Yeah. The high tea situation.
With the sandwiches, you get sweet and savoury, and you can have a champagne. It's amazing ordeal. I probably ate Victoria a few times, and I didn't know it.
You would have.
Do you eat a macaroon? Sandwiches. If someone puts a macaroon in front of you, do you eat it?
Yeah.
And are you forever disappointed?
You don't like the sensation.
Macaroon's a bit harder, isn't it?
Underwhelming, in my opinion.
What about a Victoria sponge? Would you?
You are the master chef.
Just a classic.
I know a sponge cake reminds me of my grandmother, so definitely would have a sponge cake. You know, with just some strawberries on top and cream and
beautiful.
But I've never made one.
Wow, you didn't. You never had to make one in MasterChef, like that.
I had to make a lot of stuff. The mystery box,
but never
was
a sponge.
Cool.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to take another little break. We'll be back right after this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. My guests today are Matthew Lenevez and Brendan Cowell, and this is question number 6. Name South Australia's longest river.
The Bogan River.
Not the Bogan River.
Well, the Murray-Darling runs through there, so is it the, it's not the Darling River.
Through there?
It's not the Darling, it's the other one.
Is it the Murray River?
Murray.
Yeah, it's the Murray.
Because the Murray starts there at Mildura.
Well, the Murray starts at the Snowies.
Yeah.
And runs as the border between New South Wales and Victoria.
Yeah.
And then it reaches the outlet, I guess.
It's south of Adelaide.
South Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually called the River Murray in South Australia.
That's right. We shot part of Peaches.
The whole thing.
On the Murray River.
You shot what?
A film I did years ago. Peaches on the Murray River.
About the oyster farm.
Oh, wow.
No, that's the oyster farmer that Alex O'Loughlin shot in the Hawkesbury. Great movie. Love Alex.
No, that's the oyster farm.
Emma Leung.
No.
What happened in Peaches?
Hugo Weaving, Emma
Leung.
Oh, with
Hugo and Emma Leung.
Jackie
right.
Yeah, but what happened? Was it Peaches?
It was all Peaches.
It was peach farming.
Just us on the river.
No oysters at all.
No, there was no oysters. There was a peach cannery being shut down, and it was about the year. But we filmed on the Murray.
Oh, there you go.
Beautiful.
The Murray River is Australia's longest river at 2,508 kilometres long, approximately 700 kilometres of which is in South Australia.
Well, that's
and
a lot.
The vast majority, 1,808 kilometres, is in New South Wales. And although it forms most of the border between New South Wales and Victoria, it's not the longest river in Victoria because New South Wales' border is delineated on the southern bank of the river. So hardly any of the river is actually in Victoria.
Wow.
And actually, Brendan, going back to your former appearance on this podcast, do you remember I used the Murray River as a hint for another question? Do you remember? It was what do the R and the M stand for?
Oh, which was R.M. Reginald.
Williams. It was Reginald Murray Williams, R.M. Williams.
Yeah.
All right, well done.
Reggie.
All right, question number 7. Grace is the only studio album of which...
Jeff Buckley.
Yeah, I don't even have to finish the question, do I? Which American singer-songwriter...
This is our last goodbye.
I'm going to have to cut all this
just
out.
Just say this and then I'll go.
I have some friends that actually, when he toured, I have some friends that saw him play.
This is
I can't
together
talk
with not
Rupert
going to
Reed
see
texted me.
Nirvana.
Rupert Reed texted me and said, come to the Phoenician Club. This guy Buckley's playing. And I said, I'm too hungover.
Yeah. I said, no,
Reed. But he went and saw Jeff Buckley. It was like that live at Cine thing. He played for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Changed everyone's life, and I was just at home eating chicken.
And the Nirvana concert was the other one. You're right, John.
Yeah, I also didn't go to that.
Because it's 30-year anniversary, is it?
Of
Nevermind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be.
91, 92.
And the dude in the pool's still trying to get his money back for In Utero, isn't he?
Do you remember when Grace was released? Do you know what year that was released?
I'm going to say 98.
No, it was
98.
Maybe 97. Yeah. 98 was when I discovered it. That was probably why.
Yeah, right. Well, he actually died in 1997.
Okay.
So 96?
No, the album Grace came out in August 94.
Wow.
And it did actually quite poorly.
Year 12.
But over time and with the 10th anniversary re-release, it's proven to be a huge success. In Rolling Stone magazine's 2020 list of the 500 greatest albums of all time, Grace was ranked 147.
Wow.
It was very high, really.
Shout out to Jeff. Let's just give a shout out to Jeff up there in the sky.
All right. Question number 8. Name the winners of this year's Brownlow Medal and Dalli M Medal.
Tom Trbojevic and Matt.
Oh, mate, I don't know. It's the Port power player, but I'm living in LA, so it's the Port guy.
Yes, he does play for Port Adelaide.
He's in the midfield at Port Adelaide. He's young. It's not McLennan. I don't know the Port Adelaide team, unfortunately. So.
OW are his initials.
Owen Wilson. He's also an actor. It's an amazing achievement.
It's a really, yeah.
Hey, guys.
American actor in his 40s.
Comes out
to Australia.
I'm in the corner pocket.
Ollie is his first name. Does that get you there?
Weingard?
Or you've just the first bit, just cut that off.
Guard.
No, that. Sorry. Wine. Yeah, Ollie Wines.
I'd just like to inform you, we haven't got one wrong yet.
No, you're doing very, very, very well. Yes, you got, of course, Tom Trbojevic, who plays for the Manly Seagulls.
Manly Seagulls from the Insular Peninsula.
Yeah, what a player. What a player. All right, question number 9. It's a true or false?
So true. This should be... I'll say true, you say false, right? Then we're good.
You can't go wrong.
No, let's... All right, no, we'll come together on
you'll,
this.
You'll get it. True or false, Namibia... is a landlocked country.
I've spent a lot of time in Africa, so...
You've spent a lot of time in Africa,
Why have you spent a lot of time in Africa?
No, I did a couple of things. I shot a series in Cape Town and Durban called The Widow, Kate Beckinsale. Okay. And I also, my brother and I and another friend, or another couple of people, we have a small change management company. So we shut down a gold mine in Tanzania near the Congolese border. Mm. So I did probably 16 trips to... Tanzania, right up near the Congolese border, near a town called Kahama.
Wow.
To help run a closure program and to try and help transition not just a lot of the staff but a lot of the community away from this mine. So we employed a lot of people. And
pretty
we,
awesome, eh?
That's fascinating, Matt. I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, we ran like a job training program and we got a lot of our staff certified. We flew in the top 15 employers in Tanzania to meet our staff. We got everyone who could drive licensed. We got... had a family day with 3,000 people. We had a soccer tournament for the staff morale. We built a cinema. We had a netball tournament.
Did it feel landlocked that whole time?
Namibia is, they've got the sand dunes. They're famous for it. It's above, I'm going to say.
So that's beachy.
I'm going to say no. No, it's not.
You're going to say it is not a landlocked country. You're going to say it's not a landlocked country. You are 100% correct.
Yeah, no, I think it's not landlocked.
Yeah, it feels coastal to me.
No, it's big, coastal. But it's also, you can go and do some amazing sand dunes.
Water rafting.
Like awesome, and there's beautiful sunsets over the dunes. Really famous Namibia.
Yeah.
Really, beautiful.
Yeah, it's western border is its coast on the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, it's just above South Africa.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a wave at Skeleton Bay. Are you a surfer, Matt?
No, my brother is actually. He married in Hawaii and now he lives in Torquay, Janja. So he surfs every day. But I'm a terrible surfer.
You're a terrible surfer. Well, you probably wouldn't want to go to Skeleton Bay then.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, because Skeleton Bay, Namibia was the winner of Surfing Magazine's 2008 Google Earth Challenge where readers... could submit a screenshot of a potentially unknown wave anywhere in the world, and the prize was a trip to that wave to surf.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Amazing. And it's now like, you know, a big...
big mecca.
Popular surf spot.
And the locals love Google for it.
Exactly.
There's a lot of diamonds in Namibia too.
Yeah, there are diamond mines in Namibia.
Yeah.
Namib is the world's oldest desert, apparently.
Yeah, I think I remember that, learning that when I was in South Africa.
All right, question 10. We're up to the final question, guys. You've done extremely well. Question number 10. In what century was the first smallpox vaccine developed?
I was only thinking about centuries today, because I used to get it confused as a kid. Yeah. So right now we are in the 21st century.
We are, correct.
And the 20th century was the 1900s. Smallpox. It's either 19 or 18, This is me and Brendan.
Earlier.
A lot earlier.
It's earlier than that, isn't it, John?
It is the world's first vaccine. I'll tell you.
Oh, that. The vaccine. Because it was mentioned in 16th century literature, isn't it? Well, smallpox is.
Smallpox was a massive problem. for a few centuries.
Mm-hmm. But vaccine-wise, did we get the smallpox for it? AstraZeneca?
Still waiting.
Still waiting for your AstraZeneca.
Scotty took a while on that one. I've had my first shot, but I'm waiting for...
No, fortunately, smallpox has been eradicated.
Except for the anti-smallpox vaccines, were they going around?
Well, they weren't going around. There wasn't so many of those because everyone...
No one had Instagram.
Well, I reckon there was something like a 16th, 17th century but I reckon the 1819 is where... It's probably 18th century where they got a vaccine.
It was the 18th century. Well done. Mm. It was developed by Dr. Edward Jenner in 1796.
What a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first ever vaccine for a contagious disease was actually derived from a related disease, cowpox, which is where we get the word vaccine, because vacca is cow in Latin.
Wow. Mm, and all that mad cow disease stuff.
You were right. There was actually a much earlier technique for inoculation against smallpox. Not a vaccine, but as far back as 1549, the practice of variolation was performed in China where, get this, it's pretty gross, powdered smallpox scabs were blown up the nose of the healthy, and those patients would then develop a mild case of the disease, and from then on they were immune to it.
Fun fact.
That's exactly what still happens when you get your malaria and typhoid shot before you go to India. Like, you get it.
Yeah.
And then you go to your doctor and he goes...
You're not doing lines on it, though. That's
you're not snorting dudes.
Charlie Sheen.
Dead disease cells. But that is exactly the same practice, isn't it? Giving you a little bit of it so you don't get a whole lot of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Shakespeare wrote about it a bit, so it sounds right in his... So 1598, I think, was when he wrote a couple of those crackers.
Yeah.
It may have even been, you know, what killed characters in some of his plays and stuff.
Well, certainly smallpox. Mm-hmm. I think smallpox is what... Oh, no, sorry. His son Hamnet died of the bubonic plague.
Yeah, and someone's just written a book about that, haven't they?
It is so good. Have you read it?
Is it?
Hamnet. It's amazing.
I can't remember
her name.
JK?
Not JK.
Oh, Soul. Yeah, that'll be good.
It's very good. Gosh, it's really, really good. You should read it. But in the meantime, we're going to take another little break. We'll be right back after this.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Brendan Cowell, Matthew Lenevez, thanks so much for doing the quiz.
Hey, Johnny, that was cool. And I
you guys did amazingly. Well done.
Good team.
We're always good when we get together, aren't we, Matt?
Yeah.
Like, individually we're dubious, but when we come together...
When we come together, you do very well.
Because you reminding us at the blurb at the start is we have worked together quite we're great mates, but we have worked together a few times in different realms, and it's just a lethal combo.
Brendan actually
Maggie O'Farrell, let me tell you that. Maggie O'Farrell is the author of Hamnet, and it's a great book. It's really, really good.
It's not as good as Plum, which is Brendan's book that's about to come out. Just came out.
That's right.
Which might not be as good as all the episodes of Celebrity MasterChef.
I can guarantee that it is definitely better than Celebrity MasterChef, but not as good as Brock.
Not as good as Brock.
You get some inspo from Celebrity MasterChef, you cook yourself a meal, you eat it, then you relax
and then read your book afterwards.
With a copy of Plum.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Thanks for listening to this episode of The Saturday Quiz. Thank you to my guests, Matthew Lenevez and Brendan Cowell. Thank you to Cindy McDonald for writing the questions. As always, massive thanks to those listeners who support this show, which you can do by clicking the link in the show description. And please, if you haven't already, please subscribe, rate and review, and tell all your friends to listen too. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.